If you're in Las Vegas this week, step away from the tables for a minute and take your chips down to the Consumer Electronics Show. For all you gadget geeks and tech nerds, this is your week. It's a peek at what technology will be big in 2014, or at least what they think will be big in 2014, because you know that track record is not terribly good when they predict at the CES. They're talking about smartwatches. There are curved TVs. Is that going to be the future? And Toyota announced their new fuel cell car there, powered by hydrogen. Chris Ziegler is deputy managing editor of The Verge, and he's on the line with us now. It's must be hard to cover a conference that big.
It really is. It takes a huge team. We have over six. Our publication has over 60 people here covering the show, and I swear it's still not enough.
Sum up the show in a few words for me. What is it?
The show is really the place. It's kind of two different shows in one. On the public facing side, you have the journalists covering all these amazing gadgets, these whiz bang devices that you're seeing on television, that you're going to see in stores over the course of the year, and then the other part of the show that you don't see is these same companies meeting with buyers to set up who's buying what over the course of the year to put in the stores.
I see. You know, because I've been reading the papers, and they say that this show has turned in effectively into a new car show.
It really has. You know, it's been a growing trend for, I'd say, probably 5 years now, maybe even longer. Ford, in particular, has been going for a long time. But this year, it really turned the corner. Virtually every automaker at least has people here, and many have booths, like full-out booths.
Wow! So the new high-tech gadget is a car. It's no longer your phone. The new electronic gadget is going to be your car.
That's right. You know, I've said for a long time that the car is the biggest gadget you'll ever own, and for many people, that really is true. And It's unconnected at this point, and there really is no good reason for that. There are so many ways to not just make driving more entertaining, because really it's not about entertainment at the end of the day. It's about making driving safer. We're seeing a lot of technologies here that can help do that.
Let's talk about the Toyota announcing its hydrogen fuel cell car.
Yes, yes.
Wow, big, and they're very serious about it, right?
They are. They're actually committing to bringing it to the United States in 2015, and it's actually going to be a global launch. It will be in other countries as well. But, you know, it's a very tempered announcement, because really at the end of the day, fuel cells need infrastructure,
right?
You need a way to fuel these vehicles, and that infrastructure doesn't currently exist. So it's only going to be a launch in California at first, because the state has already committed about $200 million to helping build that infrastructure. But even so, they're only going to have about 20 new fuel stations in 2015. So it's going to be a pretty limited rollout.
Mm-hmm. I'm Ira Flatto, and this is Science Friday from PRI, talking with Chris Ziegler, Deputy Managing Editor of The Verge. So Toyota might be giving Elon Musk a run, a little bit of competition.
Yeah, that's right. And Elon has kind of given fuel cells a hard time recently. He's not a believer. And there are very good reasons for skepticism. Like I mentioned, the infrastructure is a huge problem. But the vehicle is practical. They're promising 300 miles of range, which is, you know, as good as a gasoline car.
Mm-hmm. And so there are other announcements. As you say, a lot of auto announcements. Google announced an Open Automotive Alliance. What is that?
So that's kind of a two-tier announcement. The first part of that is going to be kind of a concentrated effort by Google and a handful of automakers, including GM, Audi, Hyundai, and a couple others, to ease the interface between Android smartphones and the car. So, for instance, and this is not something Google has said, by the way, I'm speculating, mm-hmm. but it's easy to imagine that, say, 3 or 4 years down the road, you could have a voice interface to all of the applications on your phone, the idea being that you're not looking at your phone while you're driving. Which, you know, of course, we've all heard what a huge problem texting while driving is, and that's extending to other applications on the phone as well. So that's an obvious application. Then longer term, mm-hmm. we'll start to see cars that are actually powered by Android.
Mm-hmm. Now, in getting back to the gadgets, the smaller gadgets, I saw something about a curved TV.
Yes.
Why do we want a curved TV?
That's actually a very good question. The companies that are making these televisions, LG and Samsung chiefly, will tell you that the big advantage is that they reduce glare. And it is true. If you're looking at the TV dead on, you get far less glare on a curved display than you do on a flat display. But you can imagine, I mean, that the counter argument is that mounting it would just look weird because you have this object that's curving away from your wall. So it goes both ways. I actually think it's kind of a gimmick, just like 3D was a few years ago. That's kind of almost died off completely in the home at this point. I'm not sure curved TVs are going to be a big deal either.
Yeah, you know, 3D never caught on. What about the 4K TVs? That's something that's going to catch on, and exactly what do we mean by 4K?
Yeah, 4K is a much bigger deal. So 4K is the next step in resolution. We all remember the transition from standard definition to high definition, which is, you know, 720p, 1080i, 1080p.
Right.
And now the next step is 4K, which is much, much higher resolution. You can't really appreciate it when you're just looking at a 4K set dead on, but when you compare 1080p to 4K side by side, which of course we're able to do at CES, you really can tell the difference. And that it is going to be a big deal. In probably 5 to 7 years, every home is going to have a 4K TV.
Is that because the screens are so big? You need that kind of resolution?
Yes, yeah, screens are definitely getting larger. And to be fair, once you get under, say, 45 to 50 inches, it doesn't make that big of a difference because the individual pixels on the screen are so much smaller. But once you get to 60, 78 inch, 80 inches, that's where you can really see the difference.
And so we're going to have all these, the bandwidth to be able to get 4K.
That's right. And you know, the sort of proliferation of high-speed internet connections is definitely helping to enable this.
Yeah.
Netflix has announced that they're filming all future original series in 4K. Samsung announced a number of 4K distribution deals, so that the infrastructure is finally in place to actually get 4K content to these TVs.
Yeah. Well, good luck covering all of that, Chris. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you.
Get some time out there and play a little blackjack. Chris Ziegler is the Deputy Managing Editor of The Verge.